brought to you by Penguin.
What White People Can Do Next, From Allyship to Coalition, by Emma Dabbery. Read by Emma Dabbery. Our passion for categorization, life neatly fitted into pegs, has led to unforeseen, paradoxical distress. Confusion, a breakdown of meaning. Those categories which were meant to define and control the world for us have boomeranged us into chaos. James Baldwin, Notes of a Native Son. There is something more to each of us that cannot be easily defined in language and representation, and there is also within us something that remains unfinished and open to the world. We can never be reduced entirely to sociological explanation. Jonathan Rutherford, After Identity. In the written version of this text, black and white usually show up with inverted commas to disrupt the ease with which we use racial categories. Over the years, I have had countless people ask me for advice on allyship, but until relatively recently, I declined, beyond cursory responses. With most of my work to date, I have felt my creative energy was best placed on centering on people of African descent, as I've been fascinated by Black Atlantic cultures for as long as I can remember. The Black Atlantic, a concept coined by Paul Gilroy in 1993, is a lens through which to explore blackness beyond the limits of the nation-state. The term incorporates the USA and the Atlantic coastline of Africa, as well as attending to the existence of black European cultures that have been traditionally sidelined. For me, shining a light on something powerfully generative yet willfully obscured seemed far more useful and, quite frankly, fulfilling than focusing on white people or instructing them on pointers to better recognize my humanity. Yet there has always been the assumption, generally from people racialized as white, that my interest is in racism, or indeed the word of the moment, anti-racism. Returning to Dublin during university holidays as an African studies undergrad, after telling people what I was studying, it wasn't uncommon to be met with an affronted, "Oh what, yeah, so you're real anti-white then?" A baffling response, but one I encountered more frequently than you might imagine. Over the years, this changed. The automatic assumption that I was a closet black supremacist declined, but suspected anti-white sentiment on my part was replaced with the belief that a degree in African studies equated to studying anti-racism. Recently, I recall having a public discussion in which we touched on Afrofuturism, philosophy, ancestral veneration, and its relationship to African concepts of time, as well as the trajectory between the blues and trap music. I enjoyed it immensely and found the interviewer's questions refreshing. Apparently, not everyone felt the same way. At the end of the event, I was approached by a woman who worked in development somewhere in Africa. She said she enjoyed the conversation, but felt it was a wasted opportunity. She wanted us to discuss allyship. My heart sank. Now, through my experiences of being racialized as black in a homogeneously white society, as well as through my studies, I had become an inadvertent expert in racism and had learned that it was impossible to study African history without studying Europe, racism and colonialism, and a good dollop of white supremacy too. I did go on to write my PhD thesis on the construction of racial categories, but that was much later. I find it remarkable that an academic racialized as white, studying, let's say, English folklore, would never be automatically assumed to have an interest in racism. White people have not been overdetermined by their race, which is precisely why we have often witnessed scenes of obscene outrage in those moments when whiteness is pointed out and remarked upon. Recall the backlash, not to mention the complaints to Ofcom, when the Channel 4 newsreader Jon Snow...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?